transferred to broadcast. To end, hang up.
Good morning, Rabbi Isai. Shir today, Yeshua Jacobson, Parshas Shlach Chof Gimel Sivan, Tav Shin Pei. The title is A Bite-Sized Version of Things to Come. So I was going to start with the story, which you've probably heard 20 times by now, but the Darshan, who says, he begins his lecture by saying, really, I'm speaking to myself and everyone else can listen, which I thought would be something I could totally relate to, but thanks to Simcha's good help, I know that there's at least one person listening, and actually as I tuned in, I heard there were several more of you, so that's a big chizuk. Speaking in a room to yourself is a bit awkward. I'll just mention at the beginning that because I won't get feedback from watching your faces and seeing your response, anybody is welcome to call me after this year to give me their input.
Who's speaking? Who's the speaker?
Could I trouble you, Simcha? I don't know if I have no way to mute people's conversations, if you wouldn't mind to do that, please.
Sorted.
Okay. So here we go. As an introduction to my topic, it happened to be Siyata Dishmaya, this last Shabbos, I saw in the Sefer Shem Shmuel an amazing chiddush that I had never heard and which I believe is a huge yesod for Avodas Hashem. He quotes at one point Rashi and Shmos, Lamed Hei Tes Zayin, who says something I hadn't thought about. He says the experience of the mon, the mon which I always associated with being in the midbar, this halig of food, well, I thought that's where they had it. But Rashi tells us quite clearly, I've forgotten my Rashi there. He says, no, the Yidden already had the experience of the man earlier. As they were going out to Mitzrayim, the loaves that they baked already had the taste of man. An open nace that regular food should taste like this heiliger man. And it's amazing nace. But the Shem Shmuel asks, what was the point of this nace? Why did they need to have man? They weren't yet in the midbar. It wasn't time, l'chera, for the experience and for the chizuk and amuna that was planned for them in the midbar. So he explains, and this is his yesod, that Hashem knows everything, and he knew that the jolting change of going from the gashmi mitzias, the lifestyle of Mitzrayim, to this extremely ruchni experience of living in the midbar would be too shocking for the Yidden to do all at once. That kind of a life change is so extreme that it's very hard to internalize and to be able to cope with. So Hashem and his chesed created a transition period when they could get accustomed to the new reality in a less dramatic first step before the intense changes of life that was to come. How did he do this? He gave them the taste of the mon, a little taster, of course, pardon the pun, even before they entered the midbar. So what do we see from this? And this is going to lead to the main subject. We see that sometimes Hashem, in his chesed, gives a reduced but important taster, trial, lesson before bigger changes that are to come. A few weeks ago, I called my Rebbe, his name is Rebbe Naftali Kaplan in Bayit Vegan. He's more famous in England as being the Mechutin of Rav Avram Gervitz, but he is an Adam Gadol in his own right. He's the father of Nissen Kaplan, that's another way people know him, but he's my Rebbe. And although it's actually quite difficult to get a hold of him on the phone normally, but because of the lockdown that was still in place in Eretz Yisrael at the time, and because I think he's approaching 90 Kanina Hora, so I thought he's not going too many places, and maybe it'd be a good time to try him. So I asked him my various questions, for advice, and for a bracha, and then I thought I would throw in a big question that only a gadol was the right address to ask. I asked him, why is the coronavirus sweeping through the world? And what does Das Torah say about this? So he paused and he said to me, many things are being said by people, said one says this reason, one says another reason, but nobody knows the real reason why. We just don't know. Then, because he has a sense of humor and he loves the MS, he said, but it never hurts to do tshuva. After I spoke to him, I thought about it, and I realized his answer was really the answer that I should have expected. For example, we now are over 80 years, I think it is, since the Chorban in Europe, and we still can hardly say that we have clarity on reasons behind the Rabbeinu Shalom's plan for those events. So now, in the middle of the coronavirus and everything with it, is there really much chance that we could have clarity as to why this is happening? Our Gedolim are capable of making such suggestions, what we should improve on in a Yiddishkeit, but even they do so with great caution. So just to put things in perspective, I am definitely not going to put in my small daya to try to answer the question of why. So what am I going to speak about? Well, I think nevertheless, although we can't speak about why, but we do have justification or basis to comment on the what. What do I mean by the what? Well, I'll give you an example. I was listening to my Rosh Kodal the other day on his, I think it was his daily shir, or maybe it was before some special event, and he said, as a passing comment, that there's been less Chilul Shabbos in Eretz Yisrael during lockdown, and that the bars and the pubs have been shut down all around the world. Now, that's not an explanation of why. That's just a fact of what's happening. That is a what. There are less averas of these sorts taking place. That was his observation. So it does seem legitimate to draw attention to some of the what's. What has changed, even if we don't know why? For example, my daughter, Baruch Hashem, arrived back in Eretz Yisrael last week after being here for 2 months. And she said, after the lockdown has ended there in Yerushalayim, it's a surreal experience going around. Suddenly the normal city she left has become a city of masks. Everywhere, masks. If you appear in public, she said, on the street, people will say to you with a look of shock, where is your mask? Well, I think we can say that things have unquestionably changed. Here in Manchester, I know it's different, and I'm going to focus on the local matzav. So I'd like to say, maybe we should think about some of the peculiar changes that have happened almost overnight, right in front of our eyes. These changes will be especially noticeable for those who have listened to the Rabbanim and who have said to follow medical advice. And those who carried on with life as normal will probably not have noticed as much of what I'm talking about, and I'll come back to this approach, but I hope everyone can benefit from what I have to say. With our eyes focused on the what's, consider the following idea. And just as a precursor, this is quite a chiddush what I'm going to say, but nevertheless, I'm not too embarrassed to say it here on Start the Day. It is novel, but this core idea I already shared with people back in March, and the main points that I'm making today I shared with Talmid Chachamim, and it was well received by them. And then a few weeks ago I was honored when a Rosh Yeshiva who was giving a phone conference to three yeshivas actually quoted this idea amidst his drasha. And interestingly, a well-known Pesach in Yerushalayim I heard maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago pointed out a similar idea in brief to his Talmidim on a telephone shir. So I sincerely hope you also find benefit from it, and it has the power to greatly strengthen our emunah and to make the time we are living through more meaningful, and that is priceless. Everyone who is involved in limited Torah is aware that when the Goyal Tzedek comes, B'mher V'yameinu, he will explain to us that we are to begin living, keeping the laws of Tumah v'Tahara. It won't just be a polite set of suggestions. These will include Chiyuvim d'Oraisa and d'Rabbanan. As much as right now we're used to having to wear talis and tefillin, keeping Shabbos, keeping Kashrus, there'll be a whole new section of Shulchan Aruch opened, Tuma v'Tahara, that is just as obligatory with just as many consequences, which I'd like to bring out some of those points today, and I'll tell you why as we go along. For most of us, in our lives and the lives of our parents and our grandparents, going back almost 2,000 years, this field of halacha has remained an abstract piece of knowledge, limited to the realm of intellectual emunah. Very few people have lived with it as emunah chushis, meaning a tangible reality that they feel affects their lives, as opposed to a cold piece of knowledge that may be true, but what does it have to do with me? Historically, the Yidden didn't have much contact. The closest people had to Tuma and Tahara was if they saw the Kahanim standing away from the town's funerals or outside of hospitals, sometimes in Shari Tzedek. There were Kahanim high amongst them waiting outside. When there was a sign there that said it's not suitable for Kahanim to come in now, so you'd see some Kahanim standing in the parking lot. Who knows what they were doing there? Maybe they were out for a shmooze. But if you thought about it, they were there because of Tuma v'Tahara. And also we saw Kahanim, when the others went into the oil of a tzaddik to daven, the Kahanim would stand outside. Or maybe we heard some stories about Kahanim wearing large plastic bags for their flights to Eretz Yisrael. So that was it. That was what people heard about. That's what people saw. Well, there was one other place where people accessed this point of knowledge of halacha. If you learned the dinim in Mishneh Berurah, Kufnun Ches, the Mishneh Berurah explains there, Sif Aleph, why do we wash our hands before we eat a bread meal? Well, it's not just to have clean hands, as maybe people who don't know any better think. It's a gezeir derabbanan to keep us keenly aware of an issue of tuma for the future. Future precautions that will be needed by the kahanim when they eat truma, and for those who'll eat the chulin on Taros HaKodesh. So, every day, it could be, for those people who are aware of that, they had a reminder if they happened to wash to eat bread. But that was it. A few obscure practices that hardly touched the lives of dozens of generations of the past. Millions of Yidden who did not necessarily feel the emunah chushis to do with Tuma, the dinim of Tuma v'Tahara. But the truth is, the Torah teaches us the dinim of Tuma v'Tahara are vast. Their impact will be awesome in the future. It's one of the largest siddurim of the Mishnayos of Shas, Taharis, is dedicated exclusively to these subjects, including many mesachtes, like Nida, Mikvois, Kalim, Oilis, Tvulyoim, and Uksin. I'm not even listing all of them. And this is aside from the countless appearances in every Masechta of Talmud Bavli and Yerushalmi of Dinim of Tuma v'Tahara. It's a body of halakha with a sweeping impact. I think we can say without exaggerating, virtually every aspect of our lives will be rewritten. All we'll know will change. Married life, the world of commerce, and possibly of most interest to our stomachs, the food that we eat will also be affected. But how can we grasp such a huge change to our daily living? It is so foreign to us. In fact, I've heard some people say, such a world is almost unimaginable. Sometimes you can hear there's a bit of skepticism. But we have emunah that the Torah is and will be unquestionably the real emes, so that even if we can't see presently how to reconcile these dinim, these facts, with reality, as we call it, that fault is in us, because the Torah defines reality. It is us who have to adjust to it, not for us to ask, how can that be? We may have wondered in previous Torahs, as previous Torahs did, okay, you've made your point, but how can we develop this emunah chushis for this idea of Tuma v'Tahara that we all know to be true? How are we supposed to do that? How are we supposed to relate to something totally invisible, untouchable, unseen, unfelt, and totally beyond our senses. Something only known about through a body of Chochmah outside of our whole experience of life. Even Kodshim, in relative terms, is easier to grasp. And it's not enough just to relate to it, but also to realize we must live life differently because of it. How are we supposed to know this? How are we supposed to have the Emunah Chushis? Baruch Hashem, the Eibishter, is running the world, and he knows how to get things done. He knows how to get ideas into our minds and our hearts. So now, remember that Shem Mishmul I quoted at the beginning of this shiur, that big changes, like we're discussing, can be learned through a taster lesson, a short step towards a much bigger change that's to come in the future. So the more we think about the Nimshol, the more we can grasp the Mashal. What do I mean? In other words, if we consider what we have to learn to live with a life of Tumah and Tahara, the Nimshol, and then I think you'll be able to see and perceive the Mashal, which is how Hashem may have arranged for us to have our first lesson. We just started about 2 months ago an intensive crash course in a mashal for Dinei Tumah V'Tahara. It's called the coronavirus. Without even realizing it, we had been signed up. I'll present a few examples, but the comparison is actually much more. First, in the future world of Tumah V'Tahara, if someone or something tamei touches us, an act which leaves absolutely no physical evidence, no tangible mark, this is a serious matter, possibly requiring purification, tahara, and the washing of hands and sanitizing gel, which we're busy with now, or some of us are, will seem of minor inconvenience compared to the dinim of tefillah d'oraisa required for a person to remove his tumas aguf. And in order to avoid this, we'll need to go to significant efforts to make sure that tumah doesn't occur in the first place. So wiping down food with disinfectant, that won't be enough to protect our oichalim from becoming makabel tumah in the future. It's a good practice run, but it won't be enough. In fact, given that some liquids, some mashkin makes the oichalim, the fruits and vegetables, huksha l'tumah, we may be making things worse if we wipe them over. We'll need to choose our company and where we go very carefully. PPE won't suffice because a person such as a Zav or a Nida who are infected with tumah, they can cause us tumah through their touch or their saliva, even right through our clothing. Although I had a shaila, because in the poskim they say a piece of paper can sometimes prevent touch. So some of this PPE is made out of things similar to paper. I'm not sure if maybe it would be of some benefit. Nevertheless, this tumah can also result in travel restrictions. You think it's hard to get a flight? Well, it's not the only travel restriction. And you think summer holidays are in jeopardy? Some people have also got personal limitations, and they're serious, such as no entry in the Mekomos Kedoshim in the world, the Gimel Machanos, the three camps around Yerushalayim and the Beis Hamikdash. You may not be allowed in, and this will be at a time when we'll all be recognizing that these are the greatest places to visit, we'll have the greatest she'ifa to go there, and yet the Tamei people will be told, depending on their tumah, wait outside. Another example, our property can be ruined, or at least we could suffer a financial loss because of carelessness with tumah. Consider what one moment in an oil mace can do to an entire barrel of expensive wine. What you were planning to serve at the chasana, sorry, but you'll have an instant drop of value as the demand will plummet. So you'll feel it, chas v'shalom, in your wallet. Do we think that one 2 or 3 meters for social distancing is a new idea? Well, it can go just as far by Tuma. Midrabbanan, those people who wish to remain tahor, called chaverim, will need to avoid physical contact, dining, sharing items with whole groups of people only suspected of being careless about Tuma. We won't even know if they're carriers of Tuma. These people are known as Amei Aretz. If you want to see some makor for this, you can look in the Rambam, Tamei Mishkav V'Moshev in Perek Yud, and you'll see many of the dinim there, how our lives will change. Now just picture in your mind, nowadays, I think many of us, if we were standing on the street, and while we're waiting for something, a cyclist would come by and suddenly sneeze right at us. Aside from it being ecoldic, I think things have changed a bit. We would start to have some serious thoughts. What was in that sneeze? I don't mean the ecoldic part. I mean coronavirus. Is that so different than how we'll view the body liquids of a zava, which are a source of a chomer tuma? What do I mean? If the saliva of a zav lands on you while he speaks to you, or if he sneezes or coughs on you, the Rambam says in Tamei Mishkav V'Moshev in the first parak there, parak Aleph, a sneeze or a cough is included in his saliva. It's just the aerosol, as they call it. Well, the aerosol carries tuma. Or let's say he touches a doorknob before you and some of his saliva gets left on the item that you then go and touch. Well, you have a tuma issue to sort out. Hopefully, the mashal and the nimshal are getting very close in your minds. You say, okay, some similarities. You've talked about money. You've talked about inconvenience. Well, that's not a fair comparison. Isn't this virus a little bit more serious than that? We're talking about pikuach nefesh. Well, read on. In the Dinei Tuma of the Tahara, the risks can be fatal. There's a chiyuv kares. Where is that? If a person who eats kodshim or enters the Azara with tumas aguf, it's kares. And that's not maybe, perhaps. These are einshim min hashamayim. With that, I think we've got quite a few of the comparisons, the analogies, so we can see from some of these whats that perhaps we've actually been zeicha to have a crash course in the future world of Tuma v'Tahara. Now, to live with all these dinim may have previously seemed beyond imagination, bordering on the unbelievable, until within the last few months, Hashem has revolutionized the whole world's understanding of how real the unseen and unfelt can be, and how much it affects every aspect of life. We were signed up for a short, intensive set of lessons, and some of us have learned a lot. If what I've said is true, there's another point to consider. This will also have an impact on a kavana we could have, why, and an understanding why we should be taking some of the precautions for this virus more seriously. Until now, if you saw people being careful with their visors, with their PPE, with their social distancing, all the other things that go along with this, you'd say to them, what are you accomplishing? What is this? Well, I think the simple and correct answer would be the pasuk, "V'nishmartim o'id l'nafshei seichem." We're trying to guard human life, if not my life, then the lives of others. And I think everybody would agree that it would be reckless to go into an old age home as if nothing's going on and just walk around after mixing with dozens of people. People can feel that there's something going on here, that we're guarding human life and we're makayim a mitzvah by doing so. And that is the ikkar reason to keep all of these precautions. However, there are others out there who are being more relaxed. And they'll say whatever they'll say to explain why they're not bothering or why they don't think it's important. I'm not going to try to answer for them. The main point I understand is we listen to our Rabbanim, and what they say we do. But now there's a new angle to this debate or to this discussion. According to what we've learned today, aside from the mitzvah deraisa, v'nishmartem o'idim l'daf sheseichem, we, in this matzav, have had lessons arranged by the Ribbono Shel Olam to be prepared for a future mitzvah Hashem, soon to be world of Dinei Tumah v'Tahara. These are a lesson. Hashem arranged, like the man. And by the way, it seems not everybody took advantage of the man lesson as much as they needed to. We found tzaddikim received it in one way, beinonim another way, and rishayim in a different way. It was up to you to decide, are you going to internalize the lesson of the man and build your betochen and emuna? It was a lesson, but you could choose to attend to some degree what you would learn from it. So too, in the matzav we find ourselves, if this is a preparatory step towards future events, as I'm suggesting, this is a training for our benefit. Aside from the chiyuv d'oraisa, that's something that none of us should want to miss out on. So if we don't take part in this unique training and push it off as madness, well, guess what? We just won't have that benefit. Thank you all for listening. And may we be zeichet to be as goyel b'mehera yameinu. I would be very happy to receive any feedback from you. If you wish to call me, you can reach me on 0798-567-2143. Call soon. Thank you for listening.